for February. We've got present here Vice Chair Senator Kiesel, Senator Coghill, Senator Walkowski, and myself, Chair Dyson. We have before us a joint resolution 14 by Senator Coghill basing our F-35 aircraft at Eielson Air Force Base. My intention, with you all's concurrence, that we would pass this out of committee today. Senator Coghill, you're
ready. I'd like to do just a brief opening. I have staff here that will be able to talk about the details. But since we just talked about the Arctic policy, obviously Alaska is an international state. we just are. And so really look forward to hearing the Arctic policy report. That's one element. We are also a Pacific Rim state. We are definitely a Pacific Rim. And with the Asia-Pacific comes some very interesting dynamics, North Korea probably being the main one. So Alaska becomes kind of the one of the posts that America will use to become kind of the monitor of the Northern Asian Pacific, basically, and beyond. I think even our missile system has a component in Kwajalein, which is way down in the South Pacific. So this resolution, resolution number SGR-14, recommends the F-35s, which are one of the new, what they call fifth generation fighter jets, to be stationed in the Fairbanks Eielson Air Force Base area. We have a whole long list of things that would recommend, but probably the best is the reach to the Asia Pacific and the training capacity they have here. So for those in the Anchorage area that have supported the Eielson issue, my deepest gratitude. And this is one other way of saying we can be a partner with the base in the Anchorage area. We have the Raptors, F-22s. This puts Alaska probably on the map as one of the best defense stations for America, both in the Northern Arctic and in the Northern Pacific and beyond. So that's what this resolution is, putting Eielson on the map for one of them, and I think we're on the short list. So if I could have Chad Hutchison at least go through some of the highlights and what we're requesting.
Sir, put yourself on the record.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Chad Hutchison. I'm the staff for Senator Coghill. Just to add on to what Senator Coghill was saying, there's also increased influence from China. They're aggressively trying to develop a fifth-generation fighter, and it's one of the reasons why there is this pivot to the Pacific by the Obama administration. They want to make sure that they're counteracting that potential spread of influence. Just briefly, I want to touch on a few points. It's not a secret that Fairbanks and North Pole is definitely a military town. Of the 50,000 or so jobs in the interior, 20,749 are directly or indirectly related to the military. As far as the actual resolution itself, I'm going to provide a little bit of some background. The expectation is that the Pacific Air Command is going to place one to two fighter squadrons in one of the Pacific bases. A fighter squadron consists of 12 to 24 aircraft. The Pacific air bases that qualify include Yokota Air Base in Japan, Osan Air Base in Korea, J-Bear, Hickam Air Base in Hawaii, Kadena Air Base in Japan, Kunsan Air Base in Korea, Anderson Air Base in Guam, and Misawa Air Base in Japan. And all those air bases have positives and negatives. I'll give you an example of some of the elements that the Air Force is going to be looking at. There's a probability that they don't want to base F-22s and F-35s together. So some of those bases you can eliminate immediately. That includes Hickam and J-Bear. So really the expected procedure is that Eielson Air Force Base will be in competition with bases in Korea and Japan. So they're aggressively trying to court the aircraft too. Now, why is that important? If you look at Luke Air Force Base, which is in Arizona, which recently got 144 F-35s, It was a statewide effort, and the cumulative effect on the economy for Glendale was an additional $2.2 billion infused into the economy, 96,000 jobs. Of course, you know, that's 144 aircraft. The expectation is at the max that we would receive 48 aircraft if we topped out. But still, it creates a stable economy for the for the surrounding interior region. And it creates jobs for a lot of the folks living in Fairbanks and North Pole. Just to give you an update as to what the interior has been doing up to this point, we do have what's known as the Tiger Team, which is a meeting of the minds that consists of the local mayors, prominent businessmen, and government officials, both on the local level and the statewide level, that are actively looking to entice the F-35 placement, and that includes various tax exemptions, military facility zones, and looking to expand the mission parameters for Allison Air Force Base, which you see a little bit of it occurring right now. There's the expectation there's going to be a Gray Eagle Squadron, which is unmanned aerial vehicles operated by the Army, but placed on Allison Air Force Base as far as using their runways and their assets. There's also the expectation that there's going to be increase unmanned aerial vehicle activity surrounding the area anyway because of the recent FAA decision. So there's a lot of efforts to make sure that Allison Air Force Base is as enticing as possible to place the F-35s, which will essentially replace the A-10s that left the base a few years ago. They're both air-to-ground support aircraft, but the F-35's mission is changing. I'm going to demonstrate for you. This is a video that was provided by Lockheed Martin, and it basically gives you the what and the why and what the F-35 is, why it's important, and why the interior is excited about having the aircraft based at Allison Air Force Base. So I'm going to, unless anyone has any further questions, I'd be happy to play the video right now. Very good. Then we'll start it there.
Move your microphone down to it.
Deliver greater air-to-ground capabilities and provide the United States and allied nations with air dominance. The evolving aircraft matched the evolving threat until now. New threats are emerging. The enemy is making gains in technology. What will it take to maintain our dominance? The fifth generation F-35 Lightning II. It is the most advanced international multi-role fighter ever. Designed for the most hostile combat environments, it can handle advanced air and surface threats. It can support troops on the ground. It can make your current fighter fleet more effective. It does this by combining five key attributes.
The VLO stealth technology, the F-35, is truly a game-changing technology. It allows the F-35 pilot to operate in places we've never operated before. It can do things with a fighter aircraft that we never even thought of before. That truly is game-changing.
From the smallest rivet to the high-thrust engine, everything on the fifth-generation fighter is built from the ground up to be virtually invisible to enemy radar. Stealthy signature is introduced. Those threat engagement envelopes shrink to the point where the F-35 has corridors that it can access deep into enemy territory.
F-35 VLO technology allows us, the fighter pilots, to decide when and where we want to engage. When the enemy can't see us and we can see him, when we can shoot the enemy before he can see us, and when we can have missile impact on the enemy before he even knows we're there, that's the game-changing technology.
Stealth protecting the F-35 means that it can better protect ground troops and keep them safe.
Fighter performance obviously is crucial to how we employ an airplane. We bring to the game capabilities that other aircraft don't have. That is one, to enter the fight unseen, take advantage of a positional advantage that other aircraft never have, and to employ weapons from that positional advantage well in advance of that fighter aircraft we're fighting against, even maneuvering against us. In a legacy mindset, you had to have an aircraft that could turn to put a sensors in an environment where which it could employ a weapon. The F-35, with its helimetic cueing system and all foresight weapons, can take advantage of other aircraft without having to maneuver, yet it still possesses the same, if not better, fighter performance.
My angle of attack takes us past the stall point of the airplane. And this airplane, once you get past that stall angle of attack, you can still move the nose around, up and down and side to side, and maneuver to get where you want to be in relation to your opponent. So it'll be a maneuver-enhancing capability that the F-35 has that perhaps gives it the advantage to any adversary it might encounter. Not only that, it gives high confidence to the pilot flying the F-35 that he can do about whatever he wants to with the airplane, take it to the edge of its envelope, and not be afraid of departing controlled flight, and not be afraid of getting control back if he does.
The F-35's fighter performance, total situational awareness, and VLO stealth allow it to fly close to the border, identify approaching enemy aircraft, defeat those enemy aircraft long before they ever cross the border. In a high-threat battle space, the F-35's VLO stealth gives it a clear advantage when employing an assortment of internally carried advanced weapons. In a low-threat environment, the F-35 maintains the advantage with its capability to deliver a variety of weapons in great quantities. The fighter's speed and agility is matched with cutting-edge technology that allows the pilot to see in every possible direction. These sensors track air or ground targets with or without emitting. The data the F-35 gathers is combined into a clear and accurate picture for the pilot. That's integrated sensor fusion.
The integrated sensor fusion of the F-35 brings together information from all my sensors, both onboard and offboard, and presents them to the pilot in such a way that is intuitive, easy to use, and easy to assimilate. Now, the pilot of the F-35 is able to make the right decision at the right time in the battle space in a very intuitive manner. You don't have to be a technician and operate individual sensors. We can be the ultimate technician.
A fifth-generation fighter can quickly get detailed information from multiple sources around the globe, from surface vessels, from other planes in the sky, from satellites, from the ground, and from state-of-the-art sensors on the F-35 itself.
So the pilot in the F-35 has amazing situational awareness of what's going on around his airplane. And he can share that information with members of his own flight. A four-ship, an eight-ship, a force employment of the F-35, that information is shared around all the aircraft. So those airplanes, the pilots still has the same information as the ace of the base. Now what really separates the F-35 is the ability to take those the important nuggets of that information and through other data links outside of the F-35 realm and give that information to other legacy platforms so they themselves can be force enablers, make better decisions themselves.
Just as the F-35 was designed to provide pilots with unprecedented situational awareness, so too was it designed for ease of sustainment by the maintainers.
The Leading Edge Autonomic Logistics Information System, or ALIS, is a key element to F-35 sustainment. It is the digital thread that links the global F-35 air system ALIS is the Information Technology Infrastructure which supports aircraft operations, mission planning, training, aircraft maintenance, the global supply chain, and sustaining engineering. It allows the air system to link all aspects of the global fleet, which increases the speed and accuracy of data exchange, sustainment actions, and flight operations.
What we're seeing is the aircraft's much easier to fly, but as far as I'm concerned, much easier to maintain as well. This aircraft has very much been designed with the maintainer in mind. So all the components that we need to change, the work we have to do, is considerably easier and hence quicker for the maintenance team that we've brought on board.
From defending the homeland to supporting coalition operations, the F-35 can do it all.
The great thing about the F-35 is we're not just an air-to-air and an air-to-ground platform. In the air-to-air realm, this is the best air-to-air fighter this period on the international market. No one comes close to the F-35 in the air dominance arena. We perform a myriad of other tasks and other missions that no other legacy strike fighter can ever perform.
Profound advances in capability, all in an affordable platform that dramatically increases the effectiveness of a nation's air operations for decades to come.
Does the committee have any questions?
Do we know more about the F-35 now, Mr. Chairman?
Might add that it's a very expensive aircraft, and we could build all the schools we've dreamed of building in the state here for one of them, and also very high maintenance. Anything else in your presentation, sir, Chad?
Mr. Chairman, Lockheed has notified us, too, that they expect the comparative margin for each F-35 to come down as more are produced too, but they are expensive now, but they expect that to change as more roll off the assembly line.
Mr. Chairman, probably the timeliness of this particular resolution is not only to speak for Alaska generally, but we also have a survey team that is a site survey team coming to Alaska, I think, pretty soon. So I think it's going to be important for us to speak up. It's one of those things where if you don't say anything, they assume you're not interested.
All right. I have two people who want to call in and speak, Luke Hopkins and Barbara Johnson from the mayor's office in Fairbanks. Can you hear us, Luke? Luke, there may be a mute button there you want to look at.
Thank you. This is Luke Hopkins, mayor of Fairbanks North Star Borough. I want to thank... thank the chair for the opportunity to testify on this, and of course, thank Senator Coghill for bringing this resolution forward. I won't show you a second video today. You probably saw an adequate demonstration of what the F-35 is. Recently, though, over the last most of the last year, have ended up in a very strong relationship with Pacific Air Force, not only visiting four-star generals, but here at Eielson Air Force Base and in Washington, D.C., speaking about how Eielson is probably the premier OCONUS base for being able to have F-35s at it, along with the training spaces that are really needed. As you heard... Lockheed Martin has the factory. We went there in January, walked along the assembly line, seeing the first F-35 that's being assembled for Luke Air Force Base. Went to Luke Air Force Base to see how the community has built a support for their Air Force Base and the F-35s. And I can tell you that it was impressive. And we came back here, and we are. Stepping out from what you heard earlier from the Tiger team, efforts to a probably even from the sense of a statewide program, it should be able to grow into in support of F-35s coming here to Eielson Air Force Base. We expect the Air Force to be making their announcement in the second half of February, that being the Secretary of the Air Force that our base if it's not at the top of the list, it's certainly in the short list for a environmental impact process for basing F-35s. So this resolution is extremely, extremely important. You know, it's the economic value of having one or two squadrons here at Eielson Air Force Base is huge. We saw what Luke Air Force Base has for that community, and we know that Eielson Air Force Base will be able to match that. Again, this is an OCONUS operational basing issue. That means that we will be, as we see Alaska, being able to defend globally from our position in the Northern Hemisphere. So I will be glad to answer any questions, but one final statement, know that both the Assembly and my office, along with the community members, including Chamber of Commerce, are all marching forward, so to speak, in support of F-35s being based here at Eielson Air Force Base. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Any questions for Luke, Mayor? Ms. Johnson from the Mayor's office, are you ready to testify? Barbara Johnson, can you hear us?
Yes, yes, this is Barbara Johnson from Mayor Luke Hopkins' office at the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and I'm here basically just to answer questions, but one point I would like to make so that you're aware of the economic impact, and you probably already are, but Luke Air Force Base, what it meant to them was $2.2 billion coming into their economy because of having the F-35s based there. And the difference is, there's a little bit of difference because I believe they had 8 squadrons where we have the potential to have 2. But really, really significant economic impact.
Any questions for Johnson? All right. Any questions, comments from the committee? Senator Wilcox.
For the for Chad, maybe you can answer this. Has there been any sort of analysis as to whether or not, whether or not this would, what's the word I'm looking for? How effective this would be placing this at J-Bear? Which is my district.
Passing through the chair, there has been an analysis, and the general consensus of the Air Force is that they don't like to put their eggs in one basket, and that's why if J-Bear has the F-22s already, just like Hickam has the F-22s, they don't like to place F-35s and F-22s at the same military installation. So that's the reason why you'll see them state that the top 3 candidates are likely out of Japan, Korea, and Eielson Air Force Base because they don't have the other F-22s. But it's one of the reasons. There's a complex analysis. It does with training space. It does with asset allocation. It does with politics. International politics sometimes come into play too. So there's a lot of different factors. But that's the reason why General Carlisle, who's a general of Pacific Air Command, has stated that Eielson Air Force Base is likely the one of the top candidates.
And I would just add, if you could get me a little, I'm going to mark no rec on the form today. And if you could just get me some more documentation, more information on that, just so before I vote on the floor, I can have that so I can at least explain it to my constituents why I'm voting the way I'm voting.
Senator Wilkowski to the chair. I'll make sure that comes to you.
Any other questions? All right. I'm pretty sure this is going to pass in committee. Senator Giesel.
I just wanted to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. I think it's breathtaking what humans have been able to construct with mined minerals out of the earth, which we have in Alaska. Copper, gold, silver, molybdenum, zinc, as well as rare earth elements. Pretty fantastic. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. If I was making this presentation, I would have also mentioned NORAD and Alaska's cooperation with her. The U.S. is with Canada. Literally here in Alaska, our Air Force flies top cover for a continent. And that mission has come back to being more important. The last 4.5 years, the Russians are back sending bear bombers on the edges of our airspace, if you will, jerking the Eagle's chain. And very important. it happens to be that all the Canadian, or most of the Canadian Air Force officers that are in Alaska live in my district. And but very important cooperative mission. Also, the Eielson has been a place the U.S. Air Force has gone to test aircraft operating in Arctic conditions, and that's it. I think that these decisions made should be made only on the basis of where is the most strategic place for the U.S.'s defense efforts to be made. But indeed, it ends up being a political process because everybody weighs in and wants the economic benefit in their jurisdiction. And other places who would want the F-35s in their jurisdiction are playing the public policy political games as well, and it's very valid for us at least to meet those political processes trying to influence it. When I was at hearings with Senator Coghill and Fairbanks, the military officers said, yes, but remember that the community support for the military is very important. And Senator Willikowski and I happen to represent the districts that are in Anchorage that are closest to J-Bear, and probably the most welcoming of the military of anywhere in the world, you know, and certainly Fairbanks mirrors that. The other thing that was made is the economics of operating and the energy supplies that are available to the military and to Fairbanks are very competitive with anywhere in the world, and it's just a significant part of the process. Any other questions, comments? All right, the chair will entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Joint Resolution 14, version 28. -LS1050/N from committee with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the Joint Resolution 14 passes committee, and we are adjourned. Good job,
Mr. Chairman.